Welcome to the Awkward English Dictionary. Irregardless comes from two root words. Regardless, meaning anyway, anyhow, in any case, nevertheless, nonetheless, despite everything, in spite of everything, even so, and ear at the front, meaning I am an idiot.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay, you can just do it. It's just say Internet Airwaves. It sounds really cool.
Sorry, I'm just not.
Internet Airwaves.
Okay then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, Mark Scalia.
And welcome to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. Folks, it has been a very long time. And I may be a little rusty on the board, a little rusty with the tech stuff, but it's good to have you back. It's good to be back. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're listening one of two ways, and we're working on a few more, actually. The first way you can listen to the show is live, because that's how we broadcast. Right now, we're broadcasting through my personal page on Facebook, and we're working on a YouTube and an Instagram, and that'll be coming soon because I'll get to that a little bit later. And the other way you can listen to the show is you can listen to the slightly edited for time podcast version of the show available through Podbean. What you do is you go to podbean.com and you search for my name, Mark Scalia, or Radio Irregardless, or any variation thereof, and you will find a host of platforms: iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, I don't even know. They're all up there, and I took a lot of time, and I put them all together. So that's how you can listen to the show. So, folks, as I always start the show the same way every single time, I'll bring you up to speed about what's been going on with the Happening Now monologue.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to them?
That's the
when?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
No.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
And as I said, it's been a moon or so, and a lot of things have been going on. My schedule went from super busy to not so much. What the fuck? What? Let me guess.
Karen Scalia.
My wife. She says there's no sound. Hold on a second. Okay. You can probably hear me now. You can probably hear me now, right?
You can probably hear me now.
There you go.
You can probably.
Jesus Christ. I told you. It's been a long time since I did this show. Anyway, let's get back to the show, shall we? Like I said, I was very busy, and then I got to almost no work. I had a bunch of cancellations, and I was like, okay, I'm home on a Friday and a Saturday. And, you know, as a result, and I got to tell you this, as a comic, and I've been thinking about, because I had some downtime, I was thinking, I want to change the show. The show is going to go through another format change. We're going to start our 11th season in August. So you're going to redo the format. Like tonight, I'm kind of dancing with it a little bit, but I've got a fantastic guest. I don't want to talk too much about this, what's going on. I will say a couple things. Because I haven't worked in a little bit, and I did have I had a full weekend cancellation, which I was like, oh, you know, if a comic isn't telling jokes, a comic is not a comic. It's like during the pandemic, I wasn't working. So as a result, because I wasn't working, I wasn't a comic. And it took 3 months or a month and a half to get back into it, really. But I got a bunch of shows coming up. May is just that doldrum month anyway. But it kind of affects your confidence a little bit. Just like you know, if you go on vacation, it's different. Like, okay, I'm going to work when I come back. But if you had no work to come back to, you'd feel kind of useless. So, but my wife and I, we've been taking advantage of the fact that I've been home a few nights. We just celebrated our 12th year married. That was Sunday. We went, we spent some time at a winery. We went a bunch of places. We did some stuff. It was a lot of fun. But tonight, I was like, oh, I have to go to a store. I got to get some stuff. And then I was going to pick up some dinner. And next thing I know, I smell turkey downstairs. And I'm like, my wife doesn't eat turkey. Well, you know, once in a blue moon, but my wife doesn't eat turkey. And I'm like, what's going on? So I go downstairs and apparently she cooked me dinner. And I'm like, where did you find this? Because I haven't bought food. And she's like, oh, it's an episode of Chopped. And like, cause she's just putting shit together. And then I'm like, and I look around and the house is filled with smoke. My wife's an amazing cook. She does a lot of cool shit. She knows food left, right, back, center, up, down. But for some reason, when she cooks in this house, it smokes the house out. And then the alarm, because the fucking smoke detector's right by the stove where it should be. And it goes off. She's like, oh, I can't believe it. I hate that smoke detector. I want to move it. I hate it. I'm like, it never goes off for me. It's gone. No, that's not true. It's gone off like 3 or 4 times in the entire time we've lived in this house. But she's like, why is it going off? I go, the fucking house is filled with smoke. It looks like Scotland. It looked like Jeff's, you know, the scene of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Some of you listeners are a little young. You don't know. But Google it. When Jeff Piccoli opens the door and he falls out and smoke just billows out of it. That's what it's like in my house at dinner time. At least it was today. Jeez. And my wife wanted to make a special thing. Tina Turner actually passed away today. And she contributed so much. Just so iconic. Everybody's going to miss her. It's just one of these things. We're losing people. I'm getting older and, you know, everybody's aging out. So in honor of Tina Turner and her illustrious career, after the show, I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to beat my wife. Did you not think I was going to say shit like that? Anyway. Where are the comments now? My God. Anyway, so here's what I got to do. I've got a fantastic guest coming to the show. We've got Tim McKeever. You're going to get a chance to listen to him during the break. So I'll tell you what, folks, hold on through the break, and you are going to get a chance to listen to him. And when we come back, we'll talk to him directly. You're listening to Radio Irregardless. We'll be right back.
And now, Radio Irregardless presents comedian Tim McKeever.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, you get drunk and do crazy stuff. I would always do crazy stuff when I was drinking. I find this, like, with everybody. When people do stupid stuff when they're drinking, we all have a tendency to blame the type of alcohol we were drinking rather than take any personal responsibility. It wasn't me, it's true, like everyone in here has something they can no longer drink. And you never find out till you're out one night. And you're like, hey, want to get some shots? And they're like, okay, sure, anything but tequila. It makes me take a dump in a fountain. The tequila did that to you? Did you use the salt and the lime?
And you're back at Radio Regardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And let's see if I can get this to work. Let's do the studio and let's do the guest. And look at that. Oh, he just walked out of frame.
Oh, there he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very funny aforementioned Tim McKeever is joining us. And I usually have the intro with the clapping and stuff. Let me see if I can find it. It's been so friggin' long. That's it. That is it. So, Tim, welcome to In Studio. What happened? Said video ended. Oh, fuck me. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. No, you're there. Yeah, you're there. It was weird. It was, I'm trying to watch. I don't know what is going on with Facebook. I really don't. Because it says the video is ended, which I didn't end the video.
This is some Zuckerberg crap right here.
It is. Fuck him and fuck social media.
We need to get him back in front of Congress. He needs to answer for this.
He won't know the difference, though.
No.
Because, you know, he was like a bot. He was like, this is Congress.
He's like 98% AI at this point.
Yeah. Now it says the video's fine. I don't know what's going on.
Because he heard us talking about it. This is how this works. We're not alone.
We're not alone. So, Tim, thanks for being part of the show. We're just going to have some fun. We were a little tight on the pre-show. Tim is very physically active, unlike me. Like, I mowed the lawn today and I took a nap. That was pretty much my day. Oh, no, that's not true. I organized all my summer clothes. I had to get my fall clothes out. Oh, but in any case, yeah, that's what I did. I've got nothing to do. But no, I had to get rid of all my fall and winter clothes, and I had to put other stuff back, and you know. But Tim was playing volleyball because look at him; he's in great shape. He's on Tinder. I don't know where the hell he is. He's doing a hell of, look at it. You try, don't fucking flex, you prick. You totally did. You totally did. You were like, oh my god, let's sit. Hold on one second, I want to fix this.
I don't want to be looked at as a piece of meat.
No.
I'm a person. Let me
see if this says the video's ended, but yet it's still playing. I don't understand. I don't know. Anyway, the reason Tim is fucking in great shape is because he was playing volleyball. And when I called him, he was in the car. We did the sound check. We didn't have a chance to go over the whole format, but the format, I'm kind of reworking it. Tim, I'll tell you what, tell the lovely listening audience about yourself. How long have you been at this comedy game? What's your MO? How long, you know, what are you doing? Where do you live? What's going on?
I get to be on the night you changed the format. That's great. It's been a political talk show for the last 5 years, and now we're gonna divert.
Well, you know, every time we work together, folks, you don't know this, but there was a time for, like, literally, what was it, like 2 months?
Yeah.
Like almost every weekend we worked together. Like every single, like it was solid as shit, and it was fun.
It was the weirdest thing. Even when you weren't booked on the show, you were still somehow on the show.
I was still doing the show. I was like, I'm not supposed to be here tonight, and I was like, oh shit, there's Tim.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not really changing the form. I'm going to change the format in on the next incarnation on our anniversary. But I used to, you know, done all kinds of things. The show's evolved over the years, but changing. But the format between me and the guest really doesn't change. We just shoot the shit for about 15 minutes. I take a break. We come back. I fuck around, play a game with you. You see if you win against the audience. And then we just take a break, and then we, you know, I ask you about your best time on stage, your worst time on stage, and your first time on stage. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But you're from Western Mass.
Western Mass, Springfield, Massachusetts specifically.
Have you always been from Springfield?
Yeah, I have. I don't even know how this happens. You know, your parents make a decision, and then you just... Like, by the time I realized, like, you could just go anywhere you wanted, it was too late.
Yeah.
I was already entrenched. Yeah.
You're in bed. And you've been doing stand-up, what, it's 6 years, 7 years?
No, I've been at it for a little bit. I've been at it, I want to say, around 10 years. So I started.
Wow.
Yeah, I started, and then I did it for about maybe 6 or 8 months, and then I got into grad school. And okay. So I stopped. I was technically still in when I was in grad school, but I was barely booking anything, and whatever I did was terrible because I wasn't getting up. I wasn't practicing.
Right.
I was studying social work. And then they someone would be like, we had someone bail. Can you fill in? And I'm like, all right. Doing bits about defense mechanisms and shit. And yes, so it wasn't until after I was done with that that I really picked it up. And as you know, like when you take a pause, it's really like starting from scratch again. It's
yeah.
It's well,
hence the show.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, as we decided to demonstrate to the audience today, what happens when you stop and then pick it back
yeah.
up?
Yeah, because I'm like I put stuff together and I went, oh wait a minute, I gotta do video. Oh, how do I do video? So are you at your house now?
I'm at my house, yeah.
Okay. Are you like shit? Look at you. Like shit, like you're in a throne room or some shit. You got
I live like a king. This is what happens when you're not married and you don't have kids. This is all mine. I can't tell myself having a throne isn't practical.
Fuck that. That's
there's funny. No one to yeah. say. No, we're not getting a throne. What are you,
there's
crazy?
No throne. There is no room for a throne. You know, it's actually the opposite in my house. God bless my wife. But she has this habit. She'll be like driving around and she'll find furniture. Because we live in Salem. And people in like Beverly, Marblehead, Danvers, they throw shit out that's not trash. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Oh, I had to get rid of this Tiffany lamp because I only had one of them. I mean, who does that? You know, it's like, so we used to just like kind of go around. We used to just be out and we, you know, yard sales or, well, they call them estate sales. You know, we were there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like most of our furniture, the outside furniture, I think we bought a table and the rest is all somebody didn't want it. Or it was like, we have a table. My coffee table down in the basement is secondhand that I painted and redid but my wife finds shit all the time. She would never let me have a fucking throne.
And if you did, this is the thing. You have stuff down in the basement. See, I get to have everything on the main level. There's no one to say this item needs to go down in the basement. No, it's
I started in the basement. You have a throne. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you can put your house together just based off of other people's stuff. You wouldn't you would dare stop and grab something off the curbside in Springfield. It's just dressers that the drawers were broken when the FBI raided the house. You know? And it's easier just to throw it on the tree belt. You're finding Tiffany lamps and shit.
No Tiffany lamps in Springfield? You're shitting me.
No. Estate sales, I've always wondered about this. Estate sales, is that always because someone has died? Or is that, can you have an estate sale for any reason?
An estate sale is usually somebody doing it for you, I guess. It's not you really doing it.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Right. I'm originally from Chelsea. An estate sale. I didn't know what the fuck. I'm like, who has an estate? Like, that's what I've always wanted out of life. I want an estate.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go. Oh, where are you? Are you going home? Yes, we'll be at the manor this weekend. I want to live in a manor.
I'm gonna put a label on the throne, and if anything happens to me, you get dibs at my estate sale.
I know my wife is listening. She's either listening to the live broadcast or the podcast. So there you go. I get a fucking throne. All I have to do is eliminate Tim McKeever.
And it's going on the main living level, okay?
Right. You know what we'll do, Tim? If, God forbid, something happens to you, we will have an estate sale. In Springfield. It'll be the first one ever, but we'll... We are so far off topic.
I have tables that people would love to snort coke off of. They would be a dream. People would love these.
So now I didn't know this about you in grad school. So you were doing stand up during grad school, and are you doing something with that degree now?
Yeah, I don't really talk about it, but I work in the I work in the social work field, and that's why I have a graduate. I went and got a graduate degree. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. That's great. No, so, you know, you're doing something for you at night, and you're doing something for other people during the day. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah, at least
I'm like your PR agent for your estate sale. I'm like, it's not a yard sale. He lives in Springfield, but fuck it, it's an estate sale.
You somehow made it sound like I was Batman or something.
You're philanthropic. That's what you're doing. Yep. You are Batman. We all want to be Batman. We all want to be Batman.
Night, you're out fighting crime. Yeah, so that's what I decided. That's what I did. So that it just happened to fall in line. Like, I had always wanted to do stand up. I finally got in my head that I was going to do it, and I did it, and I loved it immediately. And it just happened to coincide with the whole grad school thing happening because I had applied. I didn't realize I was going to get in, and so it all just fell in place at the same time. So it was kind of like, you know, I decided to do it. But I hadn't anticipated when I applied to grad school that I'd be doing stand up and how much I loved it. So it was actually a real bummer to have to take a big step back from it during that time and go back to it 2 years later and feel like you're starting from scratch all over again.
Yeah. Well, you kill it. But dude, you kill it every time you're on stage. You really do. And I think the last show we did was where is it? It was in New Hampshire. It was for the fundraiser with the Sons of Italy. It was an Italian club, I thought.
Something like remember. That.
But yeah, it was me, you, and Kyle Crawford, And Kyle Crawford closed it out because the previous weekend, I went from opener to middle. And that was the previous weekend. I was supposed to close. That show got canceled. He goes, I'll move you to Manchester. And he goes, no, I'll move you to, Dover. And I opened. So I opened for you. I opened for you like the week before. And then you opened for me.
You were going backwards. You were like a week away from applying to grad school yourself.
I know. I was like, are they renting in Springfield? Because I got a throne. Yeah, all I have is a throne in a pickup truck, but all I need is an apartment to put it all in myself.
Yeah. It's wacky how that works. How you're like, like you're closing a show 1 week, you're opening one the next week. It's you got to be able to do everything.
Yeah, well, I told my wife this too, and I said, well, you know, that's happened for the past 30 years where I'm closing one or middling another or opening something and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, but if it happens more consistently, that's going to be a troubling thing, you know, because going up the ladder is always great, but coming down the ladder, No. I want to die on top. I want to die just at the top. I want to die in a throne just telling jokes. I'm going to get a fucking throne now. Now you got that stuck in my head. I want a throne.
I'm surprised you don't have one already.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? Let's do this. Let's take our first break and a couple things. We're going to take our first break. It's going to be a quick break. You folks at home, you're going to be listening to a little bit of history because it's a belated Mother's Day. So I'll say happy belated Mother's Day. But we're going to keep Tim on through the break. And I'm going to go through Craigslist and see if they have a throne somewhere. But I'll tell you what, stay on through the break.
They probably do, but someone probably comes with it.
With it on Craigslist, more than likely.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stay on through the break. You're listening to Radio Regardless. We'll be right back.
Welcome to another installment of Radio Irregardless's History.
The ancient Greeks were among the first to pay tribute to Mom, sort of. Their spring festival honored Rhea, the mother of all Greek gods. That holiday didn't pan out.
I got diarrhea.
But the modern era Mother's Day was created by Anna Marie Jarvis.
Hello, I am Jarvis. I am a program.
In 1910, West Virginia became the first state to observe the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And in 1914, President Wilson signed a bill that officially made the second Sunday in May Mother's Day.
Wilson! Wilson!
The holiday was meant to be spent in church. Afterwards, sons and daughters would write loving letters to their mothers.
What's this? A letter for me.
Since then, Mother's Day has become one of the most profitable holidays for florists and the phone company's highest volume day of the year.
Call your mom.
Millions of moms around the world receive extra attention and well-deserved hugs.
This has been Radio Irregardless's History.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And still sitting in his throne in his palace at home is Tim McKeever. I did look up, and they do have thrones. But the ones in Springfield, well, they're still calling them toilets. So I don't know what's going on. So, Tim, this is what I've always done with the guests. When I first started the show 10 years ago, I used to have two comics on at the same time, and I would play a game with them, and I would have them go head-to-head at the game. But since technology has improved and things have changed and I do the show live in a different way, I'm going to still play a game with you. But what I'm going to do is I am going to have you play against my listeners. Now, before I do that, folks, if you want to find Tim McKeever and if you want to see him at a show, and definitely you want to see one of his shows, you can follow him. He's got his own website. It's TimMC, capital K, EEVER, right? That's your website, is timmckeever.com. And you can click links to his Facebook, Instagram. You're not on a TikTok yet, are you? You're on
the TikTok? I am, but I never used it. It's Tim McKeever. The website's timmckeevercomedy.com.
Oh, wow. Thank you for clearing that. So Tim McKeever Comedy. That's it. So, but if, you know, some, you know, I Googled. You have like no internet presence.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't. You know what it is? It's because you're social. It's because you do the social job. Because I've had a couple comics that were teachers or they're in the government. They have zero internet presence.
That's it. Because my, you know, people that might want to see me want to find me, but there's a whole other group of people that want to find me for another reason.
A reason?
And I'm hoping they find other Tim McKeever and not Tim McKeever Comedy.
That's there's a guy in a band, Tim McKeever and something. Because literally, if you type in Tim McKeever and then you just do a search, there's like a politician, there's a musician, and you're not on the list. So
yeah, there was a swimmer for a while, but I don't know what happened to him.
But yeah, you go, then that's how they can find you in social media that way. But yeah, I can imagine that when you do the social thing, because just like when I had one of the comedians who was a teacher, she had to use her stage name, not her real name.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And they go, yeah, it's fucking bad out there. I was like, pricks, yeah. What?
The other thing is, I wasn't convinced this whole internet thing was going to catch on, but... I guess I was wrong.
I heard it's not good. And, I heard the same thing about Bitcoin and AI. But I don't know. Let's take our chances with all this shit. So here's the game I'm going to play with you. And you're going to play directly against my listeners. There is a five-second delay between you and I speaking and then the internet hearing it. So the advantage is you can answer instantaneously to me, but they will have a five-second delay before they even hear the question. So that's a huge advantage.
Okay.
The disadvantage is there are more of them, in theory. There's at least two more than you right now. So tonight's game, and I thought about a lot of stuff. I'm like, well, McKeever, comedy, some of your act. And then I went, wait a minute. There's three E's in your name, but there's double E's together. And then I went, wait a minute, let's play the double E game. And then I went, wait a minute, there's 11 letters in your Tim McKeever name. And if you count the little space, you have 12. So tonight, you will have to guess double E 12 letter words. Now, for comedians, this game is always. I had Jody Sloan on. She still gets heart palpitations when I mention the game. She goes, "I'm so fucking stressed." It's just a game we're just playing. She goes, "Oh my God, I don't know what the fuck to do." Okay, and I chose these words. All these words can be a description of a comedian or what a comedian does. That's the first little clue. The second thing is they all have two E's together, and they are all 12-lettered words. So here's the first one. Sometimes on stage, comedians have to negotiate between different audience members. Not war, but what's the opposite of war? He's on the point. He's on the point.
I don't know.
This is just the example. This isn't even the real thing. This is just the example.
There's a 12-letter word with double E's that means the opposite of war?
No, it's a compound word.
A compound
word. I'm just helping. Yeah. So what's the opposite of war?
Peace?
Yes. And
peacekeeper?
Peacekeeping?
A
different variation. Peacekeeping, yes. Comedians have to keep peace. They're peacekeeping. Okay, so this is going to go horribly well. Okay.
I should have never mentioned that I went to grad school. That implies that I know words.
No, I wrote this before I knew you went to grad school. All right, how about this one? Some comedians actually go into the acting field and they end up creating a movie, and that they would. Okay. When you make jokes, what do you do with them? You, you don't just tell
them.
How
did they not find you when they were looking for a new host for Jeopardy? I don't understand how Blossom and Aaron Rodgers got an opportunity,
yeah,
but you did it.
Fuck them.
How did they not like call Scalia? Every episode of Jeopardy would be an hour and a half long.
It would be hysterical. I'd be like, look, it's a simple thing. It's something like a thing, but another thing with the thing. I'm trying. Okay.
All right.
Let's see. If you not read, but
I don't read.
Okay, not left, but
what was the question? You said something about comedians.
Yeah,
some comedians
create movies, and that would make
create
them a. Yeah,
that would make them an.
Not a lefter, but a.
So
see, the endorphins from the volleyball game is still coursing through. Did my wife wrote it down? Okay, this one, you didn't get the example. She didn't even write it down. Screenwriter.
Screenwriter.
Okay, fine. Let's try this. If you,
I think you could have. There's a strike going on right now. You could have rolled it all into.
Well,
that.
The writers, actually, I just got a thing today. I had a vote if we were going to strike because I'm in the union.
Yeah,
and I said no. Everybody's like, "Yeah, let's strike," and I'm like, "Fuck that! I'm not going anyway." Oh, okay. Because everybody's going one way and I'm going another way, that would make me. It's the problem with a 12-letter word is there's like six pieces.
Insane isn't 12 letters. Yeah.
Disagreeable.
Disagreeable.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, you know something? This is what you are. You're sitting in your apartment, in your throne. You have no connections. You are not tied down, but
free.
Yes, and if they have these on a car and there's four of them.
Oh,
and you steer with one of them. Freewheeling. That's it. Wait a minute. Where's my? Well, let me get the correct sounds. I should get the sounds. You got the correct answer. There you go.
All right.
Oh, sometimes when comedians are in their car, we don't have time to eat a proper diet, so we may stop by McDonald's and get ourselves a very unhealthy sandwich, which has got, let's see, it's a piece of meat, a roll, a bun on top and bottom, some pickles, maybe some onions, ketchup and mustard, and a single slice of...
Jeez.
Yes. How about this in paradise? That would work too.
Cheeseburger.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Look at this. He's gripping his throne. This is stressful.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Only four more.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Oh, if you are beyond all hope, you cannot be saved.
You're on the Mark Scalia podcast.
That is incorrect. That would make you irredeemable. Here's something you might know. Comedians sometimes late at night when we can't get our cheeseburger, we may stop by the seedy part of town and talk to a lady of the evening who might be strutting on the boulevard. What's another word for strutting on the boulevard? Come on.
They have apps for all this stuff now.
I know. It's called Streetwalker. We're going to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know something? I'm just going to give the next one. There's no fucking way. Mouth breather. There's no fucking way I was ever going to give
mouth
that
breather.
One.
I love mouth how freezer. You were trying to relate this all to comedy. You're like, if you have a bad set, you might go fuck a hooker.
Right. Oh, but you, see, right now, I'm trying to get you to win the game so I may, yeah, rah, rah, rah.
Cheerleader.
Cheerleader. There we go. Sometimes in New York, they don't have comedy clubs. They have little places, and they serve tea and... Dunkin' Donuts might be considered one.
Coffee really. House.
Coffee House. That's it. And so some comedians are not as bright as others, and they may be not so much weak, but if you're very weak and you're not healthy in the head. Okay, what's the name of the... Okay, never mind. Feeble-minded. There we go. There's no way.
This is how my brain works. I'm stressing like I'm trying to think of the word, but my mind is thinking of everything else. But
right. Here's the thing. If you asked me 12-letter words, I'd be like, wow, that's a lot. And here's the thing. I wrote this, so I know. I know where it's going. And that's why I'm trying to help. But, you know, let's do this. Let me count up the scores. It's going to be tricky because I fucking lost track. And I'm going to have to go around on and on and on. But let's take our third and final break. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Tim. And we're going to find out about his first time on stage, his best time on stage, and his worst time on stage. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Radio Regardless.
Welcome to another installment of Radio Irregardless's History.
It's the three-day weekend that officially kicks off the summer season. A time for hanging at the beach, barbecuing, even catching a few laps of the Indy 500.
Jay first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to use the tradition of Ricky Bobby.
But Memorial Day is also the most solemn American holiday. A day to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice while defending their nation.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
The town of Waterloo, New York, is officially credited with starting the holiday. John A. Logan was the leader of a Union Veteran Association. He spearheaded an effort to unite all the decoration services into one national holiday, designating May 30th as Decoration Day.
James Garner, Larry Fishburne, and Ruby Dee. Decoration Day.
Decoration Day grew. By the end of the century, the holiday was renamed Memorial Day. All across America, veterans and civilians still gather in parades and vigils to remember the generations who gave their lives for their nation's freedom.
Freedom! This has been Radio Irregardless's History.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia, and still sitting in his throne, wiping his brow because that was a terrible fucking game. Him is Tim McKeever. And of course, if you want to see him on stage, you can go to his website, timmckeevercomedy.com, and check him out. And then you can follow him on Facebook and social media and all that stuff. So, Tim, I had tabulated the scores. And although that was fun and enjoyable, you really didn't win. Not really. So, unfortunately, and I haven't played this in a long time because most of the time my guests win, you get this.
Wrong, sir. Wrong. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Okay.
In addition, I can guarantee you that my alma mater is disowning me right now. Purging all of my school records.
There's shredding records faster than Mar-a-Lago. That's a classic.
Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. That's it. See, I don't know. I don't play the game. So, Tim, before we let you go, I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell me and my lovely listeners about your first time on stage, your best time on stage, and your worst time on stage. And please do it in that order.
So, my first time on stage was actually, it was in downtown Springfield. They had they were having a comedy contest, and the winner got to open for, I can't think of her name right now. It'll come to me though. She's playing, Wendy Liebman was coming to Springfield. Yeah. And it was an opportunity to open for her. And so my mom actually sent me the thing with the contest information. I had never gotten up before. I entered the contest. I wrote for the contest because I didn't know what I was doing, you know? So I wrote some jokes. I wrote some local stuff. Springfield is a gold mine for joke opportunities. And so that's basically what I did. I entered the contest. I went up. It was cool. I didn't win. I would have been surprised if I did. But I thought that it went well. And it's like that thing where people say, like, when you get up and you do it the first time, you just know, you're like, I got to keep doing this. This is great.
It is. It's like that. You get that rush. You're like, oh, this is it. This is all I should be doing for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And I didn't know how stupid it was to enter a contest to open for Wendy Liebman, who's been in the game forever. And I'm like, what if I won? What was I going to come out and say? How long have you been doing a comedy for? 24 hours. Yeah. I think I got the gist of it. Yeah. So that was the first time I ever got up.
But how did it go well for you?
It went well. What I did was, like I said, I did some jokes about, because I'd roasted people before, like people at my job that were retiring, people asked me and I would take time. I would write. I knew basically how to write a joke. Okay. So when I got that opportunity to do that, what I did was, like I said, I shit on Springfield, and then the contest was being judged by local radio personalities, and I roasted the local radio personalities.
No.
Essentially, yeah. So, I mean, the jokes were like, so if you were judging, you probably weren't expecting someone to go up on stage and just start ripping into the judges. But
it's like the movie Punchline. Yeah. It's like the Tom Hanks movie Punchline. We start shitting on the judges. Holy shit.
What I've come to realize is that there's certain etiquette and rules that go along with comedy that I didn't understand at the time.
Correct.
But it's like I didn't go up there. Like I didn't go up and eat it for, I only gave you like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes tops, but, yeah, it was overall a pretty good experience, and people said nice things when they walk out. And now that I've been doing it for a while, I know that sometimes means something and sometimes it doesn't. But it was enough to keep me wanting to do it from there on in.
So you've been doing it for, you said, almost 10 years now. So you probably have multiple best things, but dig through the archives and give us your best one, your most memorable one, the one that made you feel truly, you know, the best.
One that really jumps out to me is that I worked with Lenny Clark. It might have been the first or second time I worked with Lenny Clark. And it was a theater in New Hampshire, and it was absolutely packed because, you know, Lenny packs out rooms like that. And I want to say that I was in a middle spot somewhere. I can't remember if someone went on after me. But there, so the opener went up, and then I went up after that. And I did my set, and it's one of those things where it's like some of these jokes I've done a million times, but the packed out crowd, they were fun. They're Lenny's kind of crowd. Went so I went up, I did like 20-25 minutes and absolutely crushed. Like absolutely crushed. And when I got off stage, it was like when you see those videos of like a veteran who's come home after years of being away.
That is a great image.
I'm walking up the aisle to go to the back, and people were like slapping my hands in the aisle, like they just witnessed something amazing. And then
I'm
when
proud
I got to
be
the,
an American, where at least I know I'm.
When I got to the end, it was like the end of the parade. Lenny was there, and he grabbed me, and he was like, "Oh my God!" And he brought me into the green room, and he was like, "Oh fuck, that was something else." Fuck. Yeah. I was like, I was stunned. It was like when you were asking me those questions, I was just stunned.
But in a good way.
I couldn't believe it. It's one of those things like, you know, we do our act, you go, sometimes it hits well in a room, sometimes some stuff doesn't work. And it was just like that perfect combination of full house, fun people. You have a really good set. People are really receptive. The headliner gives you some great encouragement and feedback. And so that was, you get that high after a show.
It's fantastic. And for the people who are listening who, you know, maybe they're comics or maybe they're just, you know, people who don't do comedy, I got to tell you, there's some highs. You know, it's like personal highs. Like you can have kids and you can do this and you can do that, marriage and weddings and, you know, people in your life, but it's that moment where you can explain it to somebody, but the whole, again, a veteran coming home from war is like, that's probably the closest words you can get to it. My God. So now that we got your first time where you didn't really know what you're doing, but you kind of, you went through it, you did a little bit of roasting and you had a good time. The best time, you know, that high, that adrenaline rush. And now let's talk about the complete opposite of that moment, your worst time on stage.
Yeah. So when I was trying to think about that, I was trying to, like, I remember I remember certain instances, like almost every comedian has that show where the mic goes out and just dies. Yeah. And you end up having to scream at the audience because there's no batteries or something. And even like there's all these little like worst case scenario things that happen. But even like some of those shows are still salvageable. Because you walk out and be like, yeah, and fucking, you know, the mic died, it turned into like a weird TED talk, but it wasn't still wasn't the worst thing that ever happened. I think one that I don't even know if I would associate it as the worst, but it's something that I bring up all the time was so bar shows can be a little rough.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on the environment that they really set up for you to be successful. So there's a lot of these shows that I call ambush comedy, where you show up and there's no flyer on the door. People are sitting there. They had a tough day at work.
Oh, you mean the, hey, we're having a great time and we're drinking and we're listening to music and we're going to stop all that for a minute for this stranger to yell at us.
Yeah, and then they're having the time of their life, and then you hear a squelch of feedback in the corner, and you hear them like, we're going to start the show in about 5 minutes. They're like, show? What show is happening here? I did one once, and it was in a bar, and there was people in there that were having a good time, but they didn't want anything to do with us.
Yeah.
And there was, I want to say it was like a Bruins playoff game on, and they didn't bother to shut off any of the TV.
Oh, yeah, that's the trifecta. So
we all had to, the stage was like a milk crate in a corner, and we had to go up there. And, you know, I was probably like maybe two or three years in at the time. And I'm just doing my act, and the whole time I'm like, someone just shoot me.
Like, here's the thing: when you're that young in the business, you don't know. You don't.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it's a comedy gig. I got to do it. I gotta do my job. It's worse when you get like, if you're like 5 years in, 6 years in, 8 years in, 10, 12 years in, you're like, oh no. No, this is fucking terrible. No, I don't want any part of this.
You see people go up, it's people that are newer in comedy, and they're supposed to do 10 minutes, and they'll do 4 minutes, and they'll cut out. They're like, I can't.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, I'm going to bring up your next act. And I'm like, wait, you're uncomfortable, so you're going to make me go up there? But I remember specifically that the headliner that night, it was a local headliner, and he was supposed to do like 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And he went up and he stood on that milk crate and he did his entire act. And you couldn't hear a word of it over the chatter and the bar and the cheering of the hockey game and stuff. And you just looked into the corner. Every now and then I would look over to the corner and it looked like a guy doing mime. You would just see him moving his hands and doing stuff. But you couldn't hear a word he was saying. But I remember he gutted his way through it like a fucking pro. And the show was a complete disaster. But that stuck with me. Like, I always think of him in that corner just being like, all right, let's fucking do it. The only thing that can really compare is sometimes you get booked for like a private gig that you really can't complain about because they usually pay really well. But I remember me and Brian Plum performed at a private gig after a woman that came out of a cake dressed as Marilyn Monroe.
What?
But she looked. She was like well into the twilight years of her ability to play Marilyn Monroe anymore.
Oh, she wasn't 20-year-old Marilyn. She was like,
no.
Oh God.
No, yeah, and it was. But those ones are just you just laugh off because you're like, this is insane. You're like, I can't even believe I'm in this, but at least the people are paying attention.
I know. So now that I, and again, follow him on his website, Tim McKeever Comedy. That's TIMMCKEEVER K-E-E-V-E-R comedy. Tim, thank you so much for being part of the show. I had a lot of fun tonight. It's great always working with you. And again, I'm sorry I put so much pressure on you, but you know, you had it coming. But
yeah.
But thanks, man. I appreciate you being part of the show. Have a great night, my friend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
That was Tim McKeever, everybody. Yeah, I'm just going to shut him off here. There we go. Oh, he's gone. So, folks, so funny. Oh, my God. I love Tim. Tim, just working with him, he's so fun. So let me tell you what I got going on this weekend. Saturday night, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of civilian stuff. But I am working at Autumn Hills Campground in New Hampshire. Where? Yes, where? That's where I'm going to be. And of course, well, I got a lot of stuff coming up. I'm really updating the June is looking really good for me. So as always, go to my website, markscalia.com, if you want to listen to, if you want to see me on stage, which I would love to have you see. I would love to see you at one of the shows. For upcoming live shows, go to podbean.com for previous episodes. You want to be a sponsor or a guest, leave a question, comment, email radioregardless@gmail.com. You can always call the hotline, 978-219-9294. Next show will be May 31st or June 7th, maybe live from Red Nun. See you soon!
This has been Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia, your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoying. Radio Irregardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia and broadcast and recorded live. The Radio Irregardless theme, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuy. All music and audio clips used are property of their respective copyright owners. All material is the property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2023, all rights reserved. Listen to previous episodes of Radio Irregardless by visiting podbean.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts can be found. And thank you for listening.
Hello. Hello. Just gonna work, okay?